man. God has an amazing invitation for all of us. Amen. God is moving in an incredible way. God is inviting all of us to be part of something great. Young people today are longing to be part of something greater than themselves. Isn't that so? If you just look at the rioting and the protesting and the ungodly stuff many times that people are getting involved in, the young people of this world are longing to be part of a cause that's greater than themselves. It's in us. Isn't that so? It's in each one of us to be part of something so much greater than just ourselves and just our individual capacities. Now, I want to talk tonight about God's end time army. God's end time army that He's raising up, and I see it happening. We see it tonight. God is raising up an army of people that will seek Him, run for Him, witness for Him, change the world for Him. Isn't that so? I don't know about you, but I want to be part of that. And I shared a little bit about my London experience last week, but one thing that I saw God doing is that He is raising up an army for the end times. He's raising up a group of people that aren't going to protest, they're not going to rebel, they're not going to do all the other stuff that many armies are doing. You know, there's armies of people rising up, and it just seems like they're in the minority, and yet they seem to have such influence. I mean, just look at what's happening all over our campuses in this country. Look what happened here a couple of months ago. A minority was rising up, and the power of unity, the power of this minority rising up influenced all of us, let's be honest. And it wasn't the majority. It was a minority of people looking to be part of something so great. What is amazing is inside of every person there's a longing to be part of something great. And you know that something great has been provided for in the kingdom of God. It's called the kingdom of God. All of us are longing to be part of something greater than just our individual capacities. And it's called being part of the kingdom of God. And I had that experience that God said to me when I was in London that He's busy raising up an end time army. Like in the days of Joshua, when Joshua conquered the promised land, when Joshua went in, a young man raised up by Moses went in to conquer giants and to establish something when there was so much chaos. And where Israel just didn't want to receive what God had for them. They just didn't want to go into the promised land. They wandered in the desert for 40 years. And it almost seems like the whole thing of Christianity is at that place where we've been wandering for 40 years, you know, many years longer. There's been dark ages. There's been desert times for the history of Christianity. Since the first church started, it seems like we just don't want to take the promised land. We don't want to go in. And 100 years ago, revival started again and people started to be awakened to God's purposes. I believe there's an incredible awakening. There's exciting times ahead for us as a church, for us as believers. Talking about the global church now. We're just a small part of it. But when I was part of this encounter, this Empower 21 conference, you know they've got an amazing vision. The vision is to, I'll read it to you. And if you want to go and search it on the internet, it's www.empower21.com. It's the movement under which we as Shofar have decided to submit. And it was so amazing to see a group of charismatic churches and Pentecostal churches all over the world coming together with this one vision. This is their vision, that every person on earth would have an authentic encounter with Jesus Christ through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, .. by Pentecost 2033. That's an amazing vision. That every person on earth would have an authentic encounter with Jesus Christ through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit by Pentecost 2033. That is exactly 2,000 years after the first Pentecost happened in AD 33. So I'm excited to be part of this vision. I know it's not the only vision. God's got massive global visions all over the world. People have really decided to change the world and to put their faith out for big things. We can just display a small part of of being part of this massive army that God is raising up. And I want to say there's an invitation to every single person alive today. Melissa talked about it just now, you know, young and old, married, unmarried, single, babies, kids. Everyone is invited to be part of this amazing army of God. Even unbelievers are invited. Did you know that? Because I can tell you, you know, in the times we're going into, unbelievers now are going to run faster when they experience the gospel than we have been running. Are you excited for that? I'm not going to be intimidated. I want to say, God, raise up some radical people that are going to come into our church. They're going to look like very weird and very wacky, but God, they must run further than we've ever run. Because God is a God who's inviting, and He wants everyone to be part of His end time harvest, His end time army to be the harvesters bringing in the harvest. The Lord God of the universe is wanting to raise up an army. And I don't know about you, have you looked at army people before? Anyone here been in the army? I don't think you guys, I just missed it. Okay? I had a choice, fortunately. The people that were sort of a little bit older than me didn't have a choice. They had to go to the army. But if you look at an army person, they're quite interesting. We can learn a little bit about them. But there's three things that I want to mention about these people that we can learn from them. The first thing is they seem to have a willing heart. They've like sold out their lives to serve some country or some king or queen. Okay, my brother was in the Royal Marines in England for 5 years of his life. He's a South African. He's a hardcore South African. But when he got into the Marines, you know, all his purpose was to do was to serve the Queen of England. Whether it was, and he went to Iraq for the war, he went to Sierra Leone to keep peace, he went to Northern Ireland to keep peace between Catholics and Protestants. He went all over the world to serve the Queen. Okay. A South African serving the Queen. That's amazing. Okay. But when you're part of an army, when you're part of a group of people, you have sold out your life to serve the purposes of your leaders and ultimately some country or some leader in some way. So that's the first thing, that they seem to have this willing heart ready to just serve and to see the people that they serve blessed and free and safe. Then secondly, they seem to have a very distinct identification. You can identify people in the army, isn't that so? You walk, you know, in Bloemfontein, there's quite a few army people. You see them because they've got this uniform on. It's very clear to know who's in the army and who's not in the army. So they've got this uniform, and you know, this uniform is always neat and presentable. You know, women love people in a uniform. Isn't that so? Girls go wacky about guys in army clothes, or in especially like where they got rank and they, like, you know, the hair's cut and the berets on and they're looking so handsome, you know. But this uniform is always very clear. You can see someone is in the military. They are presentable, they are neat. They're very clear, very distinct from the rest of the world. And thirdly, they're always ready to carry out immediate commands. As soon as that command comes, it's like they're on the radio all the time. And they go in and they do what they've got to do. And so tonight I want us to look at the army of God, because I believe we are going to be an end time army. And I just want to say tonight that God, I'm talking tonight about the God of war, okay? I'm talking tonight about the God of battle. And I want to say God is an amazing God. God has got two sides. He's got the love of God. He's the friend of sinners. He's incredibly graceful. He's family-oriented. He loves the family. But on the other side, He's got to be a God of war. Amen. He's God of righteousness. He's God of holiness. He's a God of truth, because He's holy. And unfortunately, he's had to wage war against the enemy, because the enemy came to deceive His people and His children. And so ultimately, all God wanted to do is He blessed the people at the beginning, Adam and Eve, and said, look, I want you to just dwell in the garden. I want you to know me as I'm God, but you know, I want you to be free. I love you and I want to bless you. And unfortunately, the devil came in to steal, and so now God has had to put on His other side, a God of war, a God of holiness, a God of righteousness, a God who's conquering the enemy. And He's so furious with the enemy. In fact, He's so furious that He decided to die, that the enemy can be defeated. Amen. So I want to look at a story by a man who was part of an army that went into the promised land. His name was Joshua. He went into the promised land. He was on the brink of going in. And Moses had died, and God said to Joshua, Joshua, you need to go in. I'm going to be with you. Keep my word. Keep focused, because you're going to take the promised land. Finally, my people are going to receive what I've always had for them, the blessing of the land of milk and honey. But Joshua, there's a couple of giants you're going to have to conquer. There's a couple of things that you're going to have to overcome, and you know the manna is going to dry up. And you know, I'm not going to give you manna anymore. You're going to claim the land. You're going to eat of the good fruit of the land. You're going to take this land and the giants with you. And so, yeah, Joshua is, and you know, the circumcision has happened, and they've gone through the Jordan, and they're really prepared, and so they're about to take the first place called Jericho. They're on the brink of taking Jericho, and yeah, Joshua is standing, and Joshua is focused, and he's a man who wants to do the will of God. But listen to what happened before Jericho happened. This is just three verses I want to read tonight from Joshua chapter 5, from verse 13 to 15. I just want to look at these three verses. Because I believe this is a picture of the people of God in the end times. Because you know, we're all Joshuas. I mean, we are Joshua generation. Turn to someone next to you and say, you're part of a Joshua generation. And it came to pass, verse 13, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him. I promised you last week to please sit next to a believer if you don't have a Bible here. So sorry about the PowerPoint. Just sit next to a Christian. We'll pray for you afterwards. But bring your Bibles to church. Really, I'm being serious. Joshua chapter 5, 13 to 15. Let's start again. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Joshua asked the question here. Is it this thing or that thing? Guess what the answer is? No. Which one then? No. That's in my translation. Okay, other translation says neither, but anyway, it's the same thing. Okay. So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have not come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and he worshipped. And he said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. Joshua did so. Just three amazing verses. And after that, we know what happens. The rest of the story, Joshua goes in and he conquers Jericho and he takes a lot of land. And the Israelites start to settle in the land, finally, that God had for them. But I want to look at some characteristics of this man, Joshua, because I believe his army had the same characteristics. I believe whatever he experienced was filtered through, because this is just how they conquered the promised land. They were a people of incredible passion, a people of unity, a people who wanted to see the promised land taken, because their ancestors had died, and they were sick of staying in the previous land. Some tribes were there, and Moses said to some tribes, you settle there, but the rest of you go and receive the blessing. And so these guys wanted to see the promised land conquered. So I want to look at a few things that characterize Joshua, because I believe it should characterize us as God's end time army. And the first thing is that Joshua was a man who knew God. And so Joshua must have thought, you know, I'm going to take this land now. God has given me instruction. I must go. And so he was ready to go. And I don't know what he was doing, but suddenly he had an encounter with this man, capital M in the Bible. This amazing guy. So Joshua must have thought, oh, shucks, is this guy now, is he our enemy? Has he come? Because suddenly he sees, oh, this guy's got a sword in his hand. So he sees this guy and he wonders, is this guy now for him or against him? He's not quite sure who this is. But you see, I believe Joshua was a man who was seeking God. Isn't that so? It doesn't say anything like Joshua backslid or Joshua went, you know, the wrong way, or he didn't do what God said. It doesn't say anything like that. It just says Joshua had an encounter with this man before he entered into the first of his wars. And so the first thing I believe that we can learn from Joshua. Joshua was a man who was seeking to do the right thing. He was seeking to hear from God. And God appeared to him. At first, he wasn't quite sure if this was God or not. Is this not God speaking, or is this my enemy speaking? Okay. But he sought to understand who this man was. And so what did he do? He went to this man, like with boldness. He had boldness. Went and said, are you now? Let's talk first. You know, I see you've got a sword, but let's talk. Who are you? You see, I believe sometimes when we really seek the Lord, and let's be honest now, we don't really know, is God for us or is against us? You know, when we have a tough situation in our lives and we're seeking God and we sold out for the Lord and we're running with God's purposes, and suddenly we hit a challenge, suddenly we, you know, there's a bit of a war going on and a bit of a challenge, and we've got to conquer this thing, and then we're ready to go, but suddenly, you know, God wants to appear to us and we're seeking God, and then we ask this question, are you really, God, are you really for me? Is this you, God, or are you against me? You know, sometimes when bad things happen to us, we like think, oh, then we, you know, we blame God and we think, oh, God is against us. But I think Joshua was a man who just continued to seek him, and he wanted to find out, is he for him or against him? And sometimes we do doubt God in our lives, and you know what? It's fine. It's fine with God. As long as we keep seeking. As long as we keep seeking God. Because that's what Joshua did. He continued to seek him. And guess what? The enemy is always going to try to attack our faith in God. I mean, he's always going to try to attack, is God really good? That's the first thing that the devil attacked Eve with. Did God really say? Is he really for you? Is he really wanting to bless you? Or isn't he maybe against you? And Joshua, for this moment, just wondered, is this now God or not? But what happened? He sought God. I believe he continued to seek him with all his heart, because we know what happened. God did reveal himself to Joshua. In Jeremiah 29, the Bible says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I believe God wants to create in us as his end time army a desire to seek him with all our hearts, okay? Never to stop, even when we doubt him, even when sometimes we think, God, you know, in this situation, are you really for me or against me, God? Is this now you or not? And we may be a bit unsure, but you know what? God says, just continue to seek me and search for me with all your heart. Amen. Because you're going to find exactly who I am. In fact, I'm going to reveal myself to you in an amazing way. God wants to create in us that desire to seek him. And guess what happened? Let's look at what happened when Joshua really sought to see who God was. Who is this guy? Is this guy for me or against me? You know what, God? You know what? The man said to Joshua, I'm not for you or against you. Hectic. You know, because I want to be honest now. I want to really be honest with us. Sometimes we just want God to bless us. Isn't that so? Sometimes we just want God, just be for me and then I'm fine. I'm going to live my own life. But just as long as you for me, God, then I'm okay. And I'm going to go on. And God, I want to bless, you know, the prosperity gospel. God, just bless me and my plans and my life, because it's my life, God. You just come and be for me. And then I'm going to fight this war. In fact, I'm not even going to fight the war. I'm just going to go on with my life. I don't care what's right or wrong. God, you just be with me. You just bless me. That's the one side of it. Oh, we can be so ashamed. Oh, God is always against us. And then we always like, you know, have guilt and condemnation over us because, oh God, you're always against me. I'm always sinning and I'm always struggling. And so, God, you must be against me. Life is just so bad. Life is just so against me. I might as well just give up. You know, we have the feel sorry for me attitude. One or the other. So that's kind of the question many times we ask. And I want to say, even when you're seeking God, sometimes you can come to that point where you really wonder, is life, Is it really going for me, or is this against me? And God, you must come and bless me now. Be for me, God. Just be for me. That's all I want. And God comes to say to us tonight, I really believe he's saying, I'm not for you or against you. You know who I am? I'm the commander of the armies of heaven. I'm the Lord of the commander of the armies of heaven. I'm neither for you nor against you, Joshua. I'm coming to reveal who I really am. You know who that is? He's the one who wants to win the battle. He's come with a sword drawn in his hand. And he says, you know what, Joshua? This is not your battle. The battle is not yours. The battle is mine. And if you go into this promised land now, if you try to live this life on your own, if you try to live this life and say, God, just bless my plans, you know, bless my strategies, then you know what? You're going to be at a bad place. So Joshua, I'm actually for you. But, you know, I'm not just for you to bless your plans. I've got plans, Joshua. I've got amazing plans. I'm the commander here. And so let's see what Joshua's response is. So the first thing is an army of seeking soldiers. That's who God is seeking, an army of seeking soldiers. And we seek him until we understand who he is. And you know what? When we seek him with all our hearts, he's going to come and reveal to us who he really is. He's the God of the battle. The God who has won. He has conquered all. He has conquered the worst of all our enemies, called death itself. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 says. The sting of death has been taken away. There's nothing. Nothing needs to keep us in fear, because even death itself has been defeated. And death is a bad thing. Ask anyone who's had death in their life or family's life. Death is terrible. But you know what? That the worst of our enemies, death, has been conquered on the cross of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news tonight? And so the commander of the army of the Lord says, I'm here to go before you. And so Joshua recognizes the fullness of God. He suddenly realizes who the God is that's been speaking to him all the time, to saying, yes, keep my laws, keep my words, you know, as I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you. And suddenly Joshua has this incredible experience, this encounter with the Lord. And so suddenly when Joshua recognizes the fullness of God, all that he can do is this. I didn't die. All that he could do was respond in worship. Total surrender. Guess what? God didn't. Did you think God told him to worship him? Is there anything there mentioned that God said, Joshua, now you must worship me? I don't see it at all. I just see him coming with a sword drawn in his hand, the commander of the armies of heaven. And Joshua's like, suddenly, revelation. Bing, lights on. You're not here, God, to bless me, and I'm not here to fight against you, and I'm not here to argue with you, whether you for me or against me. You are God. And I come to worship you. What is worship? What is the worship that God is seeking? In fact, I want to say it's not a natural response that Joshua gave. It's a supernatural response. Because it's a supernatural experience he had with this man. This wasn't just any enemy or any guy that he thought was up against him. This was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords himself. In fact, scholars say that this was Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate Jesus, before he became a man and came to earth. This was Jesus himself. And so, what is worship? What is the supernatural response that God is seeking from us? I believe that God wants worship from our bodies. Amen. And that's why Joshua fell to his face, because he said, I'm going to give my whole body to the Lord. Amen. I'm going to worship God with my whole body. Not just not lifting my hands or, you know, my feet and dancing and whatever. It's whole body. Surrender. Worship. You know, that talks about our actions. Everything that we do should come from a pure heart. Our whole being should worship God. Worship is not a song. Amen. Worship is not the songs we sing. That is part of worship. But worship is wholehearted surrender, total worship, total action. Our actions must worship God. No form of godliness, no religion, and denying the power of God. I want you to think about, what do you do every day? Is what you do every day glorifying God? Is it worshiping God? Think of the stuff that you do every single day. No, we're talking about every single day. Do you worship God? Is everything you do worshiping God? That's hectic. Is your whole body worshiping God? Is how you look worshiping God? Is what you do worshiping God? Your every action. Secondly, worship is with our mouths. What we say. Is what you say every day worshiping God? Is that which you're talking about, which you're frustrated about, is it worshiping God? And I know sometimes we need to get our frustrations and anger out, but are your actions and are your words worshiping the Lord in everything that you do? Joshua immediately, it says here that he worshiped and then he spoke. And then he asked this question, and we'll look at that now. But he spoke, he worshiped with his mouth, he worshiped with what he could say. And then thirdly, worship is with our thoughts, because that's where our actions and our mouth and our actions will speak of simply what's in our heart and in our mind. Isn't that so? So I believe the end time army of God is an army who are worshiping the Lord with everything, not a sing-song army that sings nice songs and falls on our faces here in church. It's an army of worshiping soldiers, an army where your whole life, or a group of people where each of our lives worship God every day. You know what that's going to do? It's going to set us apart. Just like the soldiers where we see them with, or the military guys with the uniform on, it's going to be characteristic of us. We're a worshiping generation. We're a worshiping people. That our lives worship God. Whatever we say, and sometimes it means we're not going to say something. Okay? I know we've got to be bold and say stuff, but sometimes it means you just keep quiet and the peace of God will reign in a place because you're a worshiper. You're so connected with your Savior. You're so connected with God that people are going to say, I want this life. I want to be part of this army. God is going to identify us. We're going to be identified through our worship, through our lifestyle. Amen. Not just being happy all the time, but doing the right things. Worshiping with our whole lives. And then lastly, so Joshua says to the commander here, and he says, listen here, I'm falling on my face, but what must I do? And you know what he calls him? He says, Lord, what do you want to say to your servant? Isn't that amazing? Suddenly Joshua realizes that, and I guess he realized he was a servant before, but you know, now he's a leader, and so he's got to lead these people. And so maybe he took leadership into his own hands for a while. Suddenly Joshua realizes he's the servant again. Because he's not Moses' servant anymore. Now he's the leader, but now he realizes who he's really serving. Serving the commander of the armies of heaven. He says, Lord. And he calls him Lord, and he realizes who he is. Lord, what do you say to your servant? What do you want me to do? An army of seeking soldiers, an army of worshiping soldiers, and an army of obedient soldiers. What do you want me to do? What do you say to me? This is part of our worship. I believe obedience is the highest form of worship. Amen. Obedience is the highest form of worship. And Paul the apostle had the same encounter. And Moses was a bit of a difficult guy because he didn't like say, God, what do you want? He just said, God, I don't want to do this. And eventually Moses got to do what God said he must do. But the apostle Paul, a man who changed the world, Jesus Christ himself, came to this earth and said, Father, King, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he wrestled with God. The apostle Paul, the first thing he had an encounter, and he says, Lord, he sees who he is. He sees Jesus Christ and says, Lord, what do you want me? Here I am, your servant. What do you want me to do? And it's interesting that the commander of the army asks Joshua to do some specific thing. Doesn't give him an instruction. He doesn't give him any job to do. He knows what he must do. Knows he's got to conquer Jericho. He knows he's got to take the promised land. But he says something very significant to him. And I believe tonight we have got to do this in our hearts, in our lives. We've got to do this one thing that God asks us to do. Because I believe if we can do this one thing, God can work with us. God can move us, give us strategy like march around Jericho 7 times and then on the 7th day another 7 times and then the walls will fall when we shout all at once. That's amazing. I believe that wouldn't have happened if he didn't do this. If Joshua didn't understand this that the commander asked him to do. What did he say? It says, then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua this, take your sandal off your foot, because this place where you stand is holy. You know what? Joshua did so. That's all it says. Joshua did so. I'm sure in that place of worship, in that place of surrender, I don't think there was anything Joshua wouldn't have done. Wouldn't you agree? I think there was a place of like, Lord, if you want me to die now, I'll die. Because you are so awesome. You are so holy. You are so mighty. Take your sandal off your foot. The place where you stand is holy. See, I believe God, the commander there, wanted Joshua to understand, you're going to fight this fight in the spirit. You're not going to do it in the flesh. You've got to take off your sandal. You've got to take off the old ways. Sandals represents the old ways, you know, the presumption, the unbelief, whatever it is, just the flesh. You're fighting in the flesh now. You know what? I want you to be stripped of all the stuff that you've even built up, all the good gifts and the skills and all the stuff that I've given you. I want you to take that off now, Joshua. I want you to understand that this is holy ground. I want to sanctify every part of your life. Take that that sandal off your foot, Joshua, and he did so. I believe God wants us to do that tonight, to remain in the Spirit all the time when we fight this battle, because I believe if we do this, you know what, we're going to be able to do stuff that's amazing. It's not going to make sense, but it's going to be effective. It's going to let some walls fall down. You know what, it's going to let some walls in our own lives fall down. It's going to let giants in our own lives be conquered. Amen. I think we're going to scale mountains. I think we're going to run through valleys if we do it in the Spirit. To fight in the Spirit. What are the commands that God has given us? I believe the one command, if we do this in the Spirit, is to remain committed and loyal to the commander and to love Him above everything. Isn't that so? And this is the encounter Joshua had. He had this encounter that I am committed to this guy. People are going to say stuff to me and I'm going to deal with difficult people. But you know what? I'm going to remain committed and loyal to this commander, because I see His heart. He's going to fight the battle for me. He loves me and He wants me so connected to Him. He wants me so like Him. It's called godliness, where Christ is formed in us and we become so like Him. Isn't that so? I believe God wants a godly army. He wants a Christ-like army. He wants an army of obedient people, because Christ became obedient. He had to learn obedience to the things He suffered. When Christ is formed in us, you know what? We become like Him. And what are His commands? What is His greatest command apart from loving Him? Anyone know? What is the one commandment Jesus in John and in 1 John, 2 John, all over the Gospels, Paul talks about it. What is the one thing that we're supposed to do? Paul says, walk in. John says, if you, one another, you will be my disciples. Love. You will love people. We will love people. How do we love people? We lay down our lives for them. We become like Christ. We pray for people. We serve people. We build relationship with people. We meet people where they're at. Because that's what Jesus came to do. He didn't say, come up to heaven. He said, no, I'll come down to you. Meet you where you're at. And then we build relationship, and you know what? Then we start to tell people that this amazing commander that we are serving, this amazing God. And we tell them that, you know what? They can be rescued from the claws of hell, from the claws of the enemy, because people out there don't know they're in a battle. There's going to be a hectic battle at the end, and that's why we need to know we're in a battle. We're in a battle for souls. We're in a battle for this world. We're in a battle for the kingdom of God to come. The Bible says the kingdom suffers violence. The violence take it by force. You know what the greatest force is? It's called love, kindness, goodness, fruits of the Spirit. So when we become like this commander, we start to love people. And I believe tonight, guys, that we can only do this by the Spirit. We cannot love people in the flesh. We cannot love people in the flesh. I think we've been doing too much flesh loving, to be honest. If we love them in the Spirit, we trust God for words for them. We trust God for life to flow, relationships to happen. And I can see it. Some people are experiencing God in our midst because of someone else just choosing to love them. Amen. I want to say, let's love more people. Let's battle for souls. Let's pray for souls to be saved. Let's pray for specific people. Let's battle for some people. Some people, they know even God and know about God, but they don't understand the battle that they're in, and the enemy's got a hold on them, and we are here to tell them that they can be free. We had freedom yesterday at the Liberty Seminar. People were set free because Jesus was here. Where Jesus is, there's freedom. Where His Spirit rules and reigns, there's freedom. There's no time for any enemy. We draw the line in the sand and say, enemy, Jesus is coming for you. I'm just standing behind you. The wall is going to fall down and all of your stuff is going to be conquered. The demons and the devils and the spirits over this place and over our lives, their time is up. When we surrender and we start to become godly people, we start to become godly soldiers. So I want to finish tonight by saying that we've got a great high priest who has set the perfect example for us. Amen. He was always seeking to serve, to please His commander. He had a willing heart. He had a heart seeking the Father all the time. He went to pray on his own up mountains. He went to seek God in the morning, His Father. He pleased His commander. He had a lifestyle of worship by bringing Him glory in everything He did. You know, when people got healed and saved, the glory went to God. It wasn't about Him. He brought glory to His Father. And he was obedient to the point of death, the Bible says, even the death of the cross. And guess what title he was given? Commander of the armies of heaven. Our Savior, our Redeemer, the lover of our souls, Jesus Christ. He's become the commander of the army of the Lord. And you know what he's doing right now tonight? He's inviting all of us to become part of this end time. He's inviting all of us to become seekers, worshippers, obedient soldiers. But we are loving people. We are not a harsh people. We don't operate in the flesh. There's one thing that characterizes us, and that's godliness. Because we seek Him with everything in our hearts. We worship Him. We surrender our whole lives. We let Him fill us and cleanse us and change us. And then we become obedient, where we vessels of His presence. I don't know about you, but that's who I want to be. I want to be a soldier. I want to say, yes, Lord. But we need to have that encounter where we just surrender everything. And when we surrender everything, we need to decide to take the flesh off. To take that sandal off. To take unrighteousness, unholiness, because there's holy ground. It's a place of holy ground. I want the band to come up this evening. We're going to pray now. We're going to surrender our lives to Jesus this evening. We're going to ask God, the commander of the army, Jesus Christ Himself, to come to meet with us tonight. Because He's here. I believe He's here. I believe He's waiting. I really believe that He's here waiting for us. Just to have that response. And I want to say tonight that no one is good enough. No one here is good enough to be part of His army. But He invites us and He says, you know what? I'm going to make you a soldier. I'm going to make you a seeker. I'm going to make you a worshiper. I'm going to make you obedient. I will do it by my Spirit. Because no one can stand in the flesh and say, I've got so many gifts. I'm like born ready, you know, I'm born good. No one is born ready. It's just a response to the incredible love of this commander who says, I want you part of my army. I want each one of you. So I want you to close your eyes right now. I just want to ask a question tonight. Because he's seeing your response. I want you to respond just by putting up your hand. Because I want to ask you, who of you wants to enroll for this army tonight? Who of you wants to enroll? Just want you to put up your hand. Right now, if you want to enroll, put up your hand. If God is calling you. What you do, if you really want to enroll, put up your hand. This is not anything weird. This is like, if there's a response in your heart, be bold. I want to be part of this end time army. Lord, yes, me. That's me. If you just put your hand up boldly and put it down again. Okay? I don't want you to keep your hand up. But if you want to enroll in the army, I want you to put it up. I really want. If you don't, it's fine. But if you want to enroll in this army, just put your hand up and then down again. Because Lord, the Lord sees your hands. The Lord sees each hand. I believe all of us want to, because I want to. I'm putting up my hand. I'm saying, Lord, that's me. I want to enroll. Because I'm not good enough, Lord, but I know I'm a Joshua. You've called me. I don't understand, Lord. There's so many other better people, and I'm just so bad at times. But Lord, thank you. Thank you that you called me. Just allowing the Spirit to just speak to you right now. Thank you, Lord, for what you do all over the earth. Thank you that you are purifying your bride. There's a holiness and a righteousness and a purification that you are doing in your bride, Lord. We're not just amped and excited, Lord, for the sake of that. We realize, Lord, this is a serious call, God. But Lord, we thank you for the adventure that awaits. We thank you that Jericho's walls will fall, God. Mountains will be moved, God. giants will be conquered, Lord. Provision will flow from the land because you have the land for us. I want you to just stand to your feet right now. All of us. Let's just stand to our feet and just realize that this is holy ground. No moving around. No talking. You're focused on the commander right now. Commander of heaven's armies is here. And I know some of us are running this race. Some of us are already conquering giants. Some of us have been doing awesome stuff for God. I want to really ask if there's people here tonight, you feel that you've lost your passion, your willingness to seek the Lord with everything in you. You've lost that. You really need God to come and do something. Jesus must come and rekindle that willingness where you're like a servant. You've decided to serve not the Queen of England, not the President of America or the President of South Africa, you've decided to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, but you've lost that willingness. Or maybe you don't even know the commander tonight and you want to get to know. And I'm speaking specially to you. So if that's you tonight, then I'm speaking to you. Or maybe you've lost your passion. You know the commander, but you've lost your willingness to really seek him and to just be a servant for him and to surrender your life. Or you've put away your uniform. You're not distinct anymore. You're just like the world. You look just like the world. You're not a worshiper. Your whole life does not worship and glorify God. So your uniform is somewhere there in a cupboard. You just look the same as the world. And I'm speaking to you also specifically tonight. Or lastly, maybe you've lost that passion to simply be obedient, to do exactly as the commander says. You've maybe lost his voice a little bit. You are a worshiper and you're distinct from the world. You're a good Christian. You're following the Lord, but you've lost your desire to simply take the promised land. And you know what you need to do tonight? All of you, whether you know the commander or not, if some of these things are speaking to your heart, if you don't know the commander tonight, then all you need to do is to come and to take that sandal off your foot. So that's your place of surrender this evening. And you're going to get to know the commander tonight if you don't know. And you're going to get to know his passion again. And the ability to worship him, the ability to obey him, and to just simply be an awesome soldier in the kingdom of God. You need to become holy tonight. You know there's so much sin in your life. There's so much stuff. You've lost that place of holiness and surrender. And really where you're hearing very sharply the command of the king, because all you're hearing is other stuff, voices speaking to you, condemnation, guilt, etc., etc. Tonight there's a place, an opportunity for you to come and just remove that sandal off your feet. And how you're going to do that is simply as an act of spiritual, you know, you're not going to do it physically, you're not going to take off your sandal, but you're going to surrender your life to Jesus Christ tonight again, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're going to, because there's holy ground here. So I want you to come and kneel. There's space here in the front. I want you to come and kneel here in the front. The Lord is speaking to you. You can move to the side there, but just come and surrender your life and say, God, this is holy ground. I want to take off the sandal. I hear your voice calling me. If that's you tonight, I want you just to respond. And You must just kneel before the Lord, okay? Kneel before the Lord, right here in the front. Come. The Lord is speaking to you. He wants to purify your heart. He wants to let you surrender. He wants to ignite that passion again. So just come. There's lots of space here in the front. Just going to give an opportunity. If the Lord is speaking to you, to surrender, come. Not only talking to people that don't know Jesus. I'm talking to people that know Jesus, but you need to surrender to him. As the Spirit is moving, just come. Easier. Don't be shy. I believe sandals need to be taken off tonight. Sandals of the flesh. Sandals of trying, striving. Sandals of condemnation. Sandals of guilt and shame because you're not good enough. Fears. Fears need to be taken off tonight. You need to strip aside every fear. If the Lord is speaking to you, just come and do business with him tonight. Tonight is an opportunity by his Spirit. I believe there's people that are going to do business with the Lord tonight. You're thinking a lot about it. God says, come, surrender. Surrender tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence in this place. If you're too shy, just come, take someone's hand, do business with the Lord. Surrender. The band, you guys can just minister. Just sing a song. Just do business with the Lord tonight. You guys that are not responding tonight, just do business with the Lord tonight. Just give Him your heart again. Thank Him that you're an enrolled soldier, that you're a soldier in the end time army. Thank Him for that. If you're not sure tonight, I want you to come. I want you to be sure that you're a good soldier. Let's just worship the Lord tonight.